And speaking of wilderness and the next generation, next year is the 100th anniversary of the National Park Service. And to celebrate, President Obama is giving a free park pass to every fourth grader in the nation and their families. But in some circles, the future of those parks is controversial. Over the past few years, Republican legislators have introduced a series of bills designed to roll back protections on the parks and to curtail the creation of new ones. They've been dubbed the No More National Parks bills. Claire Moser works for the Public Lands Project for the Center for American Progress. Charles Monroe Kane asked her to explain what's been going on.
Now, my understanding for these bills that are being dubbed the No More National Park bills, these aren't realistic, right? I mean, it's not going to make it through the Senate, and even if it does, Obama's going to wham it down. What does it mean for these bills? Like, why are they even spending the time pushing them through?
It seems unlikely they would become law, but it is very concerning that these are the priorities that our Congress is pushing, and our House and Senate are spending a significant amount of time focused on priorities like this to roll back protections on our public lands and block new protections. We did an analysis in the first 100 days of this year. The new Congress voted more on energy and environmental issues than on any other legislative area. And in the Senate, it was 44% of the Senate's roll call votes were
That's
on these issues. All the votes that they did, none of the proposals passed and became law. But it is very concerning that these are the priorities that our Congress is focused on.
Why? Why is 44% of the time of the Congress being spent on these issues and none of it's being passed? Why are they doing that?
We looked at the contributions in the 2 years leading up to this election from oil, coal, and gas companies. They spent more than $720 million in the 2 years leading up to the election to kind of set this anti-environment agenda that the new Congress is pursuing. And you can see this with the votes that they're taking. They're very partisan, highly divisive, and unpopular votes that they're taking, but this is what they're spending their time on.
I was preparing for this interview, and I didn't understand this fully, but of course, we have federal lands, we have wilderness preserves, we have all these different names for different federal lands, national parks being one of them. But there's different levels of the abilities for companies to lease on those different lands. Could you explain those to us?
Oil and gas drilling is a big part of what our lands are used for. And historically, we've seen a really good balance between conservation and uses for commercial development. When a national park or monument is created, it's subject to already existing oil and gas and other mineral leases that are already on the site. 12 of our nation's national parks have oil and gas drilling within their borders, and that there are about 30 more that could experience oil and gas drilling in the future.
Now, we have another issue happening in America other than using oil and gas and trying to balance that with the environment. We have an entire state, California, that is in a drought. And there are a lot of national parks, and those national parks, I looked at them online, are part of different watersheds. How does that work?
National parks in particular have been feeling the effects of climate change very seriously. The president was in Everglades National Park talking about this and the need to invest in our national parks and restoration projects, not just maintenance of our national parks and trails, but really ensuring that the water is protected. Actually, a really good example of this is in California. The president designated the San Gabriel's National Monument last year, at the end of last year, which is right outside Los Angeles. It's the kind of the backdrop to downtown Los Angeles, if you see those beautiful mountains in the background. He designated it as a national monument. And part of the reason, in addition to being accessible to 17 million Americans for recreation, but it also provides 30% of the drinking water to the LA area.
Mm-hmm.
So protecting these areas is protecting the source of the drinking water, and the LA area is still benefiting from these protections and with their clean water.
You know, I hear you talk, and I'm thinking about the argument on the other side. And so I spent some time on the internet, which one tends to do when looking at these things, and I ended up at the Heritage Foundation. And the other argument is, in a nutshell, that all lands that are government, especially national parks, should be returned fully to the private sector. And I quote, increase environmental quality, improve safety, reduce government spending, increase tourism, and serve as an economic boon. What do you think of that?
I just can't imagine a scenario in which privatizing public lands would not put them at risk. You know, these lands
aren't they at risk now?
They are at risk now, but there's a reason our public lands are public. And they belong to all Americans, and privatizing them would put that at risk. And whether it's just decreasing access or whether it is auctioning them off. I would also be wary of who's behind these proposals. A lot of proponents have significant ties to the oil and gas industry.
Use the word balance, which yes. Actually you've used that a number of times.
Yes.
In this interview. Are we out of balance? Are you trying to put it back in balance? Is that what this argument's about?
I think that's a big part of it, and I think that's what congressional leaders, by not acting to protect places and by trying to roll back and stop new protections, have been doing, is putting this out of balance, and they have the opportunity to restore that balance.
Claire Moser is with the Public Lands Project at the Center for American Progress. Charles Monroe Kane talked with her.